I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is That's What She Said.
At about 6 minutes and 10 seconds into Season 2, Episode 7, The Client, self-described closer Michael Scott explains what it's like to close a really big sale.
What is it like to close a really big sale? Think of the best orgasm you've ever had in your life and divide it in half. It's that good. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. Back in the studio.
So soon, too.
I know.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I do feel like the spring allergens are all collecting inside of my brain. So besides that, I'm doing pretty well, though.
The pollen is pretty crazy, for sure.
It's always bad. I forget, Richmond, it happens because we'll get these 75-degree days. Mm-hmm. And so then it kind of goes away, right, when it gets colder. But now it's back in force.
Everything gets tricked, and then there's like a frost randomly.
Yes. So I am defrosting and struggling through the blooms. But
yeah, with the pollen, for sure. Yeah. Yep. For sure.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this warm weather. We're recording on a Friday and it's super, super warm and sunny.
It is 75 here.
Nice.
76 and it's 5:40 p.m.
Nice. Yeah. I spent some time in the sun today and it was great.
Love that. You have to do your photosynthesis or whatever.
Just a little water, a little sunlight.
Yeah, that's all any of us
just
really
tell
need.
Me I'm pretty and I'll grow real tall. Okay, so this episode is going to be a good one and we've got some treats for everyone. So we forgot to read from Dwight's resume like a couple of episodes ago.
Halloween episode.
Yes.
We said we would and we didn't.
Yeah.
But we're here keeping our promise.
Yeah, we're going to do it. So we're going to open with that. And then we have a couple other things before we jump into stuff. But let's go ahead and read the resume of Dwight K. Schrute III.
So we have the resume of Dwight Kurt Schrute III. The one we found is pretty short, sweet, and professional. Mm-hmm. So it starts with a summary of qualifications that include things like aspiring freelance bodyguard, beet farmer, bed and breakfast proprietor, and star salesman.
Nice.
It also notes that he is a leader and mentor of underlings and that he won Salesman of the Month 13 times in 2005.
Nice.
Yep. He's also an expert in martial arts, weaponry, paintball, and pre-industrial German.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And then his professional experience, obviously Dunder Mifflin. He's a salesman and Schrute Farms. He is a manager, owner, proprietor.
Yes. And then he's got some education there towards the bottom as well. He went to Scranton University. He received his bachelor's degree in business administration and he had a GPA of 2.99987.
That's not great, right?
2.9? It's almost a 3.0. I mean, in college, that's hard.
Okay.
C's get degrees. Let's just talk about that.
I just feel like Dwight...
You would think Dwight would have a higher GPA is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree. And he graduated in 1992. Specialized skills. Willingness to do anything to close a sale and or please higher ups. Resistance to germs, viruses, fungi, and most other health threats. Ability to raise and lower own cholesterol at will. And others too numerous to mention.
Beautiful. I'd hire
him. It's so good. It's got his picture on it too. So that's great.
Yes. We love Dwight's resume.
Awesome. So now that we're done with that, I did want to talk about the 20th anniversary of The Office that just happened.
Oof.
How has it been 20 years?
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So it was on March 25th or 24th, I believe, the exact day. Just a few days ago, the 20th anniversary of The Office.
March 24th.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, just a few days ago, they have a special thing on Peacock, like a special collection.
Right.
Devoted to the 20th anniversary, but it's like the debut of the extended version of season 9.
Yes.
Which is the final season.
And since it moved to Peacock, The Office has become one of the most watched series on the platform.
I believe that.
It has like over 1.7 billion hours with the super fan episodes.
So that's like streaming hours, I guess?
Right. So seasons 1 through 9 with the super fan extended version.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the only place you can watch it aside from like cable TV.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, well, happy 20th anniversary to The Office. Literally the best thing ever. We're so happy that we get to do this and talk about it and laugh and chat. It
brought us together. Okay, so I know Savannah has some information for us from the Office Bible book she has.
Yeah.
So would you mind sharing with us some of the things it says about season 2?
Yeah, for sure. So Creed Bratton, who plays Creed on the show, is talking about Pam and Jim here. And he says, I could get emotional just watching John and Jenna filming a scene because of that unrequited love feeling they were conveying. It felt romantic. I could be across the room, glance up, and see the look. It was all in the eyes. They had a real special rapport.
Aww.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of the chemistry we see maybe between Jim and Pam, like it's genuine and authentic between the actors.
They really do have good rapport.
Like on-screen you're chemistry.
Rooting for them. And yeah. Oh, I love that.
Definitely. And Gene Stupnitsky said, the amount of time that we spent on Jim and Pam versus how much screen time these little moments actually had was insane. We would spend hours and hours debating these tiny things. The fans of The Office fan site, Office Tally, used this phrase called squee, S-Q-U-E-E.
Okay.
And this is describing like all of Jim and Pam's cute little moments together. They call them squee moments for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. They have some really good subtle moments for all the obvious things they have, right? Like just like their looks at each other, or they just genuinely seem to be like warm around each other.
Right.
That's cute. Squee moments.
Squee.
Squee.
And then Jason Kessler said, if you look at season 1, it really feels like Roy is going to be a main character. I think the writers realized that Jim and Pam's connection was so strong, even stronger, I think, than in the Dawn and Tim relationship of The British Office. I haven't really watched too much of The British Office, so I don't know about like Dawn and Tim's relationship necessarily compared to Jim and Pam's, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Mm-hmm. But Jim and Pam definitely have... stronger chemistry, I think. And that's just how the show's set up. Like, season one, it's really obvious with them. But I do think as they pick up on this season two, it gets to be really, like...
more of its own story.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Really engaging and, like, yeah, just there's, like, genuine love in some of the interactions.
Yeah.
And caring, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
for
sure. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So some really interesting insight on Jim and Pam so far in this season.
Cool. I love that. Some good information in there for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into Peter Bear for season 2, episode 7, The Client.
Okay, so number 1, we have Michael cleaning out the fridge.
Bear, how wasteful.
He wasn't even checking for expiration dates.
He throws out like a whole loaf of bread. Someone probably put it in there for his lunch.
Right.
Kevin.
Right, for like the whole week probably. It was a whole loaf. So, okay, Bear for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 2, The Client.
The Client.
Lackawanna County.
I'm going to give this a beat because that's a pretty cool client for Dunder Mifflin.
I mean, that's one you definitely want to get.
Yeah.
It's a lot of paper.
Rinky-dink paper company and big county client.
Okay, beat for The Client.
Beat.
All right, number 3, Michael and Jan's day/night out or the time they're spending together.
That is a Battlestar Galactica.
Right in the middle,
And also, like, way the heck out there because... Yeah. Michael and Jan spending that much time together and they both come back alive, like,
right?
Would not expect that.
Yeah, okay. Number 4, the business meeting at Chili's.
Bear.
Okay, what's your reasoning?
Chili's.
Fair enough.
Because it's a business meeting at Chili's.
Number 5, we have the threat level midnight script.
Oh, 100% a B.
I agree.
Like,
that's what I was hoping
for. Like,
go off
threat level midnight. Yeah.
It's so good. Okay,
it's
great.
So good.
That's a good mix of things. So let's jump into the recap.
Okay, so this episode opens with Michael walking into the office, eating his cereal, a mini box of Pops.
Which is delicious cereal, but only with milk.
Dry as hell. So he's throwing back some Pops, and he says, Pam, you want a cracker? Monet sees Pam. Michael loves his entrance lines.
It's a great one.
So this is how he greets Pam.
Yeah.
Pam lets Michael know that he got a package.
And he's like, ooh, dirty talk.
So we cut to Michael's office. Him and Dwight have opened this package. What is it, Savannah?
It is a mini, like, putter game, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a plastic piece with AstroTurf on it, and it's to practice your putting.
It's a distraction from work.
I mean, that too. That too. It's kind of awesome because you, like, hit the ball into it and it spits it back out at you.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those in real life?
Yes. My granddad had one when I was a kid and I loved it. Mm. And that's why I'm so good at mini golf.
We'll have to test this theory.
So Michael and Dwight are practicing putting in the office.
Right.
Dwight is, like, narrating as if he's at a golf tournament. Jack Nicholson, it's a celebrity tournament. So then Dwight tries to make it more difficult, and he puts Michael's favorite mug in front of the hole to try to create, like, an obstacle.
And Michael doesn't need any more obstacles. He's already having a hard time.
Every day of his life.
Yeah.
And Michael is worried he's going to chip his mug, so he puts it up on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Michael does end up swiveling and hitting the mug and breaking it anyway. It, like, shatters all over the floor.
Of course.
And Dwight is so terrified that he's gonna get fired. He's like, should I go pack my stuff? I'm so sorry. And Michael's like, don't worry about it. He pulls out a backup World's Best Boss mug in a box and puts it on his desk.
He already had it. He had it's it ready.
It's a great cold open.
It's the best. I love that one.
So then we cut to Michael actually in his office eating a hard-boiled egg with a melon baller.
Yeah, we don't have to keep on this, because literally watching it, I was gagging.
He scoops out the yolk with a melon baller and only eats, like, the powdery, disgusting
yolk. Yeah, so we didn't have to keep talking about it. It's so gross.
So then after he eats this egg or this yolk, it cuts to him in the break room, and he's cleaning out the fridge frantically. Right. He's got the big trash can next to it. He's throwing out everything, even stuff that looks good. He's not even checking for expirations.
And Kevin's like, hey, dude, like, what are you doing? That's all good food.
Right. And he's like, I can't be around carbs today. I can't. Gotta get rid of it. Gotta get rid of it. And he's, like, throwing away whole loaves of bread.
Aren't there carbs in eggs?
I guess. But
he's just throwing away the bread.
He's just, like, stressing, I guess, and can't be around carbs because he knows that he will eat them all.
He knows what they'll do to his abs.
Do you know what one loaf of bread will do to my abs? So that's a thing.
So why the stress about carbs? Why is it a big day for Michael?
He's stressed out because there's a lot on the line. He has the potential to win the biggest client that the company has ever seen in Scranton. It's the Lackawanna County account, which would be like hospitals, all county run, like,
schools.
Operations. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is huge, and there's a lot riding on it. So he's stressing. He can't be around carbs right now.
So the client, yes, is Lackawanna County. Jan comes in to brief Michael on this client. So graphs and charts, looks like USA Today.
Oh, God. She's trying to lay out the business and the specs of this and how big it would be for Dunder Mifflin. And she's being a real businesswoman right now. And he's totally, like, on another planet
and
joking around.
Changed the meeting location.
It was supposed to be at the Radisson.
Right.
Which would be an appropriate business meeting setting. However, he changed it to Chili's.
And Jana's like, what are you talking about? And Michael says that Chili's is the new golf course. It's where business happens.
That's right. That's right. You know, I did hear that if you want to be, like, a successful business person or salesperson, you do need to know how to play golf, because apparently that's where, like, all the big wigs are, and that's where all the deals are done.
Now you need to know how to get reservations at Chili's, because that's where it's going next.
Yes. And also, we do find out that if they get this client, they may not have to downsize. Jim tells us this in a talking head while Jan is there. And So we're still talking about downsizing, but right. It just kind of emphasizes how big this deal is because it could save them from having to downsize, which has been looming over all of their heads.
Exactly. So as Jen and Michael are preparing for this big client meeting, mm-hmm. Other workers are at lunch or hanging out in the break room, mm-hmm. and they are talking about worst first dates.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really interesting.
It is. I think it's worth mentioning.
Because Pam describes a situation. She went to a high school. Rachel's fidgety, so she has her little office snowball stress ball that I gave her.
So I don't just keep kicking the microphone. Yeah.
So Pam describes a really interesting scenario where she's at a high school hockey game with this date. She has not named this person, but she says that she was at the game with him and his brother.
Okay, first
off.
So
it wasn't even like a one-on-one date.
A high school
hockey game.
A hockey game was their first date. Second off, his brother's also there. Is that a date? I don't know. Okay, continue.
But it gets worse because they end up leaving her there at the end of the game. I don't know if they forgot she was there or what.
She went to the bathroom.
She went to the bathroom.
Maybe they...
And they forgot. That's what I'm saying. Did they forget she was there? Because would they not be like, wait, we had a whole ass third person with us? So she describes this date and Jim is like, how long ago was this? And she was like, oh, it wasn't that long ago. And then they're like, oh my God, was it Roy?
Her fiance
Roy. And she admits that, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing for her.
That is embarrassing for her. And it's embarrassing for Jim because Jim's talking head about his worst first date is presumably the first time him and Pam met.
At Cugino's.
They had lunch down the road. Uh-huh. Yep. And he said, oh, but she was in. I found out afterwards she was engaged.
Yeah.
So worst first dates is some of that Pam Jim will they, won't they, lost love sort of thing.
Of course. Of course. That's always playing out in the background. So we cut to Michael and Jan. Their day together is just starting. They get into the company Chrysler. And they start driving down the road to go to this Chili's meeting.
Well, Michael forced them to drive together, which I think is so, like, if somebody was that pushy about me getting in their car, I'd be like, am I going to get murdered?
This is reminiscent of Katie.
Yes.
Body bag Barbie, who was willing to get into the car of any stranger at the office.
And Michael was like, oh, come on, Jan, like, you don't even know how to get there, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Maybe this was before smartphones, though, but you definitely had, like, GPS, right?
I mean, perhaps you had MapQuest printed out.
Right, so maybe
but
she...
He's a frequenter of Chili's. He knows where it is.
Yeah, but she didn't.
That's true.
So maybe that is how...
He convinced her.
Yeah, he convinced Jan to get in the car with him.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, I think anytime he can drive someone else around in the convertible, he's going to do
it. You're right. It's all about the convertible. No, you're absolutely right. He feels so cool.
Like, of course he would want to drive Jan also because he's going to try to make it like a date situation.
Right.
But if he can get her in that convertible, then he's going to do it. So they get into the car and they're driving down the road and he's asking her all these asinine, just like... personal questions. Where'd you go to high school? She's trying to be all business and talk business still in the car. And she's like reading her notes and like graphs and charts and whatever she has in the car. And he's distracting her.
Charts.
Distracting her with all these useless questions.
And then he starts blasting music, right? So he's just being a total tool right now.
Yes. And she's getting so annoyed as she does with Michael. All right. So they get to Chili's and they're in the little front of house area and they meet the client.
So Christian, mm-hmm. Played by Tim Meadows.
Who was also the principal in Mean Girls, just saying.
Yes. The two most notable roles for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Christian shakes hands with them. Jan is all business. Mm-hmm. She introduces herself as Jan Levinson.
No Gould?
No
Gould. Is Gould dead?
Michael is shocked.
Uh-huh. Right? And he finds out right then and there that she's gotten a divorce because he's, like, pestering her about what happened to Gould as she's... you know, meeting this client.
Is Gould dead?
And then she's like, no, we got divorced. And he's like, there was a divorce. And you can see in his face, like, date Mike switch turned on date inside. Date Mike switch.
Yeah. So he's really trying to get, you know, he's like, are you okay? And Jan's like, I'm fine, Michael.
I'm like, this is not the time.
The client is standing right there. Right. Yeah. So first off, awkward. Mm-hmm. Right. Just starts off awkward. So let's go over to the table where there's a big Awesome Blossom sign behind Jan.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, Jan is trying to conduct business with this client and talk numbers, talk logistics, talk partnership, all of that. Michael is much more concerned with what they're going to order.
Right.
Awesome Blossom.
It's awesome.
Extra side of awesome.
And he also just is very, like, you could argue that Jan and Michael just have different strategies.
Sure.
Michael's trying to be really buddy-buddy with this guy, Christian. Mm-hmm. So buddy-buddy that he wants to open up with a Michael Scott classic, a joke.
And Jan limits him to one joke.
She's like, just the one.
And he's like, oh, just one? Like, just this changes everything. I need a minute to think. So he ends up calling Pam back at the office to read him some data, quote unquote.
Go through his desk and find his joke notebook.
Yes, yes. And so he wants her to read jokes off to him so he can pick like a good one since he only has one to tell. And what is the joke that he ends up telling?
Okay, I'll read it.
Let's hear it.
First guy says, well, I'm an astronaut, so I drive a Saturn. And the second guy says, well, I'm a pimp, so I drive a cheap Escort. And the third guy says, I got you both beat. I'm a proctologist, so I drive a brown probe.
It's actually a pretty good joke. It's pretty funny.
So Christian thinks it's hilarious.
Yes. And Michael and Christian are starting to bond. You can see they're like their dude switch flip, and then yeah. Jan is literally in the middle of them just like rolling her eyes and does not want to be there.
Well, Jan, she's a little bit of a party pooper, but honestly, girl's gonna need a drink to get through this.
Oh yeah.
So she orders a vodka tonic, very Jan business white woman drink. And Michael is like, oh, we need drinks.
He's like, I hear that there's an El Nino coming through. El Nino margaritas.
So now we're introducing alcohol into this already very awkward situation.
Yeah, yeah. So they get the margaritas, and you can see, like, Michael is actually working this sale and this deal and is actually doing business and bonding with this guy. And I think we would be remiss to not touch on the fact that this was such a great example of just like what it's like to do business as a woman in America, I think, a lot of times, or just like in a corporate setting, just kind of like being literally stuck in the middle of like these guys and they're doing business their way. And like, imagine if Jan was like, I want some baby back. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Just like acting like a fool, trying to bond with the guy. Exactly. Like, it's just such a great, like, realistic example of funny what it's like. Funny and
painful. Yes. Like everything else in this show. So Jan is sitting there annoyed, right? Gets her drink to get through it. They have baby back ribs and El Nino margaritas.
And an Awesome Blossom.
Awesome Blossom.
So as they're all sitting there drunk, Jan is a bit quiet. She's just kind of observing what's going on. And then Michael and Christian are having like a bro dude moment, talking about
it's divorce. Therapy.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Talking about like divorce and childhood trauma. And
it's so funny that Christian is on the same wavelength as Michael, because
yes,
you're kind of anticipating Michael embarrassing himself.
Right.
But they are vibing.
They are. I mean, luckily, because if Christian wasn't the way he was, then Michael would have totally blown it, more than likely. That's the situation over at Chili's.
Back at the office.
Yes.
When Pam went through Michael's desk to find his joke notebook, she also found Threat Level Midnight.
Yes.
Threat Level Midnight.
Yes. So Threat Level Midnight is a script.
A threat. A level threat. It is.
Did
a
you
script.
Just make that up?
No, it's the song at the end of Threat Level Midnight. My God. The rap. Threat Level Midnight.
You've heard it here, guys. Okay, so Threat Level Midnight is a film production. It's a script that Michael Gary Scott has written himself. Written, casted, directed everything himself.
Drawn it out.
Yes. It's actually pretty impressive. Like, he's been working on this for a while. So Pam shows it to Jim, and they get the great idea of doing a table read with everyone in the office while Michael's gone.
Well, they're honestly gone for a long time, so they are. Fair.
And it's, you know, they sit down to do this table reading, and it does end up getting to be past 5 o'clock.
Right.
Like, Stanley leaves. He's like, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving. And Dwight's like, but Michael said not to leave until he came back. Of course, loyal Dwight. But everyone else is so sucked into reading the script that they end up staying.
They work late to read Thread Level Midnight.
Quote, unquote, work late.
Dwight is pretty against it because it's Michael's private property, but Jim offers him the lead.
Yeah, so that perks Dwight up, and of course, he wants to take it.
So during this table read, Jim is narrating.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is the president of the United States.
Naturally.
Right.
He put his left hand over his chest during the national anthem.
Who else? Who is Ryan? Tell me.
Ryan is Samuel L. Chang, the main character's assistant.
Right.
And Phyllis is the female lead, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's the character's name? I love when Phyllis is, like, politely rude.
Yes.
You know, because her character adjusts over time. But in the beginning, she's just, like, she has a sense of humor. She'll call people out sometimes.
She really will.
It's just understated.
I love Phyllis. Oscar is the villain, Golden Face.
Mm.
And as they're all reading the table read, Roy comes up from the warehouse because he's about to go home. He's looking for Pam. He's like, are you coming home with me right now? And she's like, no, we're doing this table read thing or whatever she says. And he's like, are you kidding?
Are you serious?
And she's like, yeah. And so then he like gives her the car key or whatever. And then she sits down.
There is an unfortunate circumstance that happens in the table read. Michael doesn't know how to use spell check.
Yeah, so unfortunately.
Well, he does know how to use spell check.
He does, but he misspelled a name. So the situation is, the characters in the movie are based on some of the people in the office, and Samuel L. Chang happens to be based on Dwight.
We assume,
because the theory is that Michael used spell check to change the name of Dwight to Samuel L. Chang, but he misspelled Dwight one time.
And find and replace does not work on misspelled words.
So there was one
dwigged
left in the script. And Dwight, unfortunately, found out that it was about him. And he also was mad because his name was spelled wrong.
Yeah, it's a double slap in the face.
Yes.
So that pauses the table read, right? Mm-hmm. People go to get some food. Some people go to set off fireworks in the parking lot. Whatever you gotta do, right, to reset, I guess.
Dwight had some fireworks that his uncle bought him. And he's like, anyone who wants to go watch me put these fireworks off, come outside now. And Kevin is the only one that comes. However, Jim and Pam have a squee moment.
A squee moment.
A squee moment. Because they go up to the roof with some grilled cheese that has Angela's tomato on it. And they watch Dwight dance through the flames of the fireworks. Like running through the sparks, so that's like
Kevin's like running, like following like a little puppy. It's so
just
weird.
Them two in a field behind the office building.
Back at Chili's, Michael and Jan are wrapping up the meeting. They've moved from their booth to a like standing bar table.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the drinks have kept coming.
Yep.
And Michael's going for the close.
He ends up successfully closing this sale, and Jan has a moment where her face just, like, lights up, and she has, like, anime eyes for Michael.
Christian and Michael are still broing out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So as Michael goes in for the kill with the sale, he really pulls the heartstrings, right? He's like, I know this place. I've lived in Lackawanna County my whole life. Mm-hmm. I know how many hospitals and schools we have.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan, right, starts to perk up as she realizes what Michael's doing. And he kind of goes, shh. Like, in a way that is like, don't say anything, I got this.
Yeah.
Which is a level of confidence in business with Jan that we haven't seen before.
For sure. Or, like, at all. Not even just in business, but, like, at all.
Right. Like, self-assuredness. Yeah. Like, he's like, I got this. Like, and so then Christian's like, you know, you're going to have to meet me halfway, but I guess I could give you guys our business.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all Michael, right? Jan was, like you said, quiet, They all end up drinking. Michael's the one really doing the work here.
Yes. And it's so impressive because he does end up closing this deal.
And that's not at all how we thought it would go.
No, no, not at all. And so they are walking out of Chili's together and Jan and Michael are in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens between Michael and Jan in the parking lot?
They make out.
What is it about this Chili's that makes people want to make out
with people who, yeah. So this is crazy when you're watching it for the first time. Like, mm-hmm. what about Michael would Jan be attracted to? And in this moment, we know she's divorced. They had a few drinks. Michael closes this big sale. Mm-hmm. And they end up kissing in the parking lot.
Yes. Yes. And so they have their own little drunken thing. They go to a hotel. Michael doesn't even go back to the office before calling it a night. So that means that Dwight has spent the night at the office under an aluminum blanket or whatever the heck it is.
The dock crew finds him waiting up for Michael.
Yes, yes. So Michael and Jan made out, and Pam and Jim did have their own little cute moment, another squee moment in the parking lot that night.
Oh, right. So there's two parking lot scenes happening, yes. right? So it's everybody leaving the office after reading Threat Level Midnight and staying late.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a parking lot scene. And then at Chili's, right, it's Michael and Jan closing the sale, mm-hmm. leaving in the parking lot.
And making out.
Right.
Right.
So go ahead with the squee moment.
Yes. So Jim and Pam are walking out together after they've had their grilled cheese on the roof and what have you. And Jim pulls out his iPod with his little headphones and they start listening to music together and like dancing, swaying, if you will. And it's literally just like, what are you guys doing? And also Jim has a talking head where he talks about how what just happened with them on the roof was a date. It was like a real date. And I'm like, she's still engaged here, though. Like,
yeah, it's clearly a special moment between them.
Yeah.
But again, even the special moments where they're like so drawn to each other mm-hmm. are tainted by this fact that there's no potential or
right.
or they don't. Yeah, I don't know. Is there no potential? I guess it depends how you look at her being a fiance and how you think
True.
About, right? Like there's a lot of. But it's this big rock in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better way to say it, I guess.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place. That's what she said. Yes. So then we get a recap from Michael. This is like the closing. We get a recap from Michael the next day about what happened with him and Jan overnight. They went to a motel and they talked about her divorce for 5 hours.
Well, he says nothing happened.
He doesn't kiss and tell.
But with very little prodding,
yeah,
he opens up.
Yes. And during this time, for some reason, the dock crew was like zooming in on his face so close to get him to like admit what he did with Jan.
It's so weird. And he's like, fine, you know, we made out a little. We went back to her hotel and she fell yes. asleep on my shoulder.
Right. And they did make out, but they did talk about her divorce for 5 hours. Now, while Michael is in his office, Jan does call.
Mm.
And he is, like, so excited that she's calling because it's the night after their date or whatever. And he enters the phone and he, like, crawls under the desk to talk to her.
He's like, how's traffic? I miss you.
What?
And we learn from Michael's side of the conversation that Jan only wants to date other people.
And she said it was a mistake. Last night was a mistake.
So all of this deep emotion that we know Michael is feeling, coupled with the absurdity of him crawling under his desk mm-hmm. and turning away to get away from the dock crew. And asking,
he's mic'd up.
He's like, can I have some privacy, please? And he's like, what? You want to see other people? Only other people.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing
for him. If it was a mistake, it was a wonderful mistake. Like, trying to talk her into
a happy accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that ended how we kind of expected it to go with him and Jan.
So Michael and Jan's resolution isn't especially happy, right?
Right.
For one side. And, of course, we have to close out with Pam and Jim's resolution or not resolution
yeah.
or something,
mm-hmm.
right, about the moment they had. So Jim goes up to Pam's desk and jokes about Michael Scarn finally finding his Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Right.
So it's light and funny. It's a shared moment, right? And Jim finally says to Pam, some may say that we had our first date last night. And Pam is like, why would some say that? And Jim says, well, we, you know, had dinner. And there's this moment where Pam says, I can't remember the last time someone made dinner for me.
Right.
Right. And Jim, like, crafted a grilled cheese, brought it up to the roof. Jim says there was a show with the fireworks and there was dancing.
Yeah.
Because they stood outside and listened to his iPod. Uh-huh. And Pam is pretty adamant that swaying isn't dancing. Right. She's like, that was not a date. And what is Jim's response?
Jim says, at least I didn't leave you at a high school hockey game.
Oh!
Which, like, yeah, go Jim. Because
saying what everyone's thinking.
Put her in her place, bro. So she got mad
about that. She gets upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough, but, like,
yeah, really threw that back in her face.
Yeah.
So awkward, open-ended for both Jan and Michael's relationship and Pam and Jim's.
Right, right. All right, are we ready for some trivia?
I'm feeling ready. I'd like to know more about this episode.
Okay, sure. Do you want to go first?
No, you read from your office Bible first.
Okay, we're reading another verse from the Holy Office Bible. So this... This section of the book is specifically about this episode and about the scene in Chili's, like the business meeting and stuff. So we talked about Pam and Jim a little bit in this book I read from earlier. Now they're kind of shifting into the other love story, which is Michael and Jan. So Melora Hardin, who plays Jan, says, I remember a conversation around the time of the pilot where Greg Daniels and me and Steve Carell were having lunch together. I think Steve and I both said something like, God, Jan and Michael are just so funny together. I don't remember which one of us made the point, but one of us said that there was a spark between them because they were both angry at each other and angry at the world. There was something really a little bit hot about them. And they were just kind of saying how it would be crazy if Michael and Jan hooked up at some point in the show. And so Greg Daniels was kind of saying that it was tricky because he was telling Melora Hardin, like, you're this beautiful, strong woman who's his boss. Why would you ever be attracted to him? Yeah, right. Yeah. And he's like, we got to find a way to make that work and, like, find a way for the audience to buy into that. So basically they pulled it off by having recently divorced Jan witness Michael handle the huge sale.
And they're drunk.
And they're drunk. Of course, it says during the course of a long, boozy dinner meeting at Chili's, they make out in the parking lot at the end and speed off together into the night. It was the first time that Jan seemed a little unhinged, is how they described it.
I love that. Yeah, it's the first time she really, like, respects Michael at all. And to that point, she is excited about this sale.
Right.
So it's even, like, it's not even, like, dropping the veil for her. It's like integrating, you know what I mean? Like the businesswoman and the lover.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
It's like all in one. So it's very interesting.
Very
to me.
Complex.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I love that. My trivia is not as complex or deep. Well, this one's good. Okay. When Michael orders the Awesome Blossom, he calls the waitress by her name, Megan.
Oh.
So that does indicate his attention to personal relationships.
That's true. Either that or he just really frequents that Chili's.
Or that. Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that too.
And he does that with Christian, right?
Yeah.
He's the social guy.
And really gets into the nitty gritty with him, like his parents' divorce and childhood trauma and like all this stuff.
You see how positive of a trait that is, even though we haven't seen that thus far.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. And a little bit more about that scene from Melora Hardin. She was saying that Tim Meadows, who plays Christian, and Steve Carell, they were cracking her up so much. I imagine they had to film like that scene so many times probably, because she was probably like breaking a lot, which understandably, especially since Jan had to be really serious in that like scene, it probably was hard for her. So she was just saying that she couldn't hold it together that day and that they were so funny that it was hard to film,
I'm sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Chili's.
Baby back ribs.
And he's doing, like, the tie.
Yes, he has, like, a little mouth on the back of his tie. It's great.
I want to mention that Tim Meadows originally, apparently, turned down the role.
Really?
But was talked into it.
Ooh.
So, take from that what you will.
Okay.
When the employees share their worst first date, do you remember what Oscar says? He tells a story about a date with a woman. So, take from that what you will.
Based on what we know about Oscar at this point. Awesome. Okay, that's a good one. So something about Dwight. Dwight is seen using a NASA blanket, which is one of the items he listed that he would take with him on an island during the fire episode.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
My next trivia point is that the starting point for this episode was a card that said, Jim and Pam go on a date without really being on a date.
Ooh.
So they... Apparently, the writer started with this final scene that happens where Jim and Michael share looks because they have some tension with their love interest, right? Pam and Jan. Pam and Jan. Not Pam and Jan. Pam and Jan. So Jim and Michael kind of give each other a little. It's like not like women, though. It's actually like they're both hurting, right? Yeah. They're both feeling slighted.
Right.
So they kind of share this look. And that was the moment that the writer started with. And then they worked backwards.
Oh.
To figure out how to get there with the story.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's interesting. So the drawings of the threat level midnight poster were actually sketched out by the director, Greg Daniels.
No.
Which is really funny,
that
actually.
That is funny. So we talked about Michael's talking mouth necktie.
Yes.
It was custom made for the episode.
Are you serious?
I'm sure there's things like it.
Like gag gifts.
Gag gifts, yeah. Exactly. But he's wearing it to a business meeting and he's gagging with it, right? He's like pretending to move the mouth.
Yes. So, yeah, for a little more description, if you're familiar with the show, you also know like he has like a pair of wind up mouth on his desk. It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
But it's like printed on the back of his tie. So he like flips it up and can like use it kind of almost like a sock puppet and like make it look like it's talking.
He's really doing sock. That's what he's doing. Sock puppets.
With a tie.
With the tie.
Yes. So that's Michael's tie. And then the Chili's that they go to in this episode is not the same, quote unquote, Chili's from the Dundies. We know that it wasn't real Chili's, but like it's not the same location. So they it's a different set of Chili's.
Ooh, we've got some good ones. My last one here is that there was no stunt coordinator for the fireworks. When Kevin and Dwight are setting off fireworks.
And Dwight's, like, running through the sparks.
The actors were told just to goof around with fireworks.
Oh, so Rainn Wilson's reaction is to run through the sparks candle.
They're on the ground,
yeah.
Right? They don't actually shoot up.
Correct. Not that we see, yeah.
But they probably aren't allowed to.
True.
Right?
That's
like,
true.
It's probably a regulation with fireworks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they just like run around.
Running through like a sprinkler of sparklers.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
That's amazing. So my last trivia point is that, you know, in this episode, we know Dunder Mifflin is trying to get business for Lackawanna County Schools, amongst other organizations in the county. Lackawanna County has a population of about 215,000, according to this, which is, I mean, I feel like that's really big, right?
Yeah, I don't think their branches have especially huge clients like that.
Yeah.
So for Dunder Mifflin to get that account over Staples.
Right.
Right. Like
for
Office Depot. I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. 215,000.
Good stuff.
Okay. So now we're going to throw the coals on and do a little coal walk. Is that the sound of
forearms? Yeah. It's the sound of your pants being burned off at the knees.
Or your pantyhose melting into your skin.
Wow, for a fire safety officer, him crawling on the coals.
God, that stinks.
I guess that wasn't in the office, so he wasn't technically the fire safety officer.
True.
At Beach Games.
Wouldn't that be interesting if that was Jacques Cousteau's burn victim origin story?
But it makes sense. Like, deep cut, and it makes sense.
God. Okay.
All right.
Coal walk.
What's your coal walk?
Yes. So mine is pretty straightforward. I know that Chili's is at the crux of, like, the Office origin story. I get it. It's kitschy. It's campy. Early 2000s. Right. We get it. Right. Like, I was a Ruby Tuesdays child.
Oh, so
I, like,
Ruby Tuesdays slapped. The salad bar?
I would only get cottage cheese off this. Cottage cheese and, like, unhusked sunflower seeds from the bar.
The salad bar. The croutons. Bar. The dark brown croutons.
Yeah. So, like, I get it. I get it. But Chili's, aside from the alcohol and maybe an awesome blossom, other than that, gnar. It's a no for me.
So Chili's has its time and place, right?
For sure.
So fun night out with friends.
Maybe some drinks and apps.
Something like not super crazy, fancy, expensive.
Watch a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Sports bar.
Yeah.
But for this business meeting,
right,
it's not the ideal.
For this very important business. Like the Radisson would have been a chef's kiss location.
Right.
The original location was great.
The awesome blossom will make you, like, fall asleep in 5 seconds.
Unless it's about to come out of your nose because you're laughing at a joke.
About the brown probe. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good coal walk.
Yeah.
We needed that one.
Yes. Okay, let's hear yours. I hear that it's very hefty.
It is a little hefty. So my coal walk for this episode is... it's a little bit two-part, but it's on the same issue. So, obviously, Jan and Michael have different business approaches.
For right? sure.
So, I'll say the Jan part first.
Okay.
Right? As you alluded to earlier, Jan is a boundaries queen, right?
For sure.
She only wants to talk about business with this annoying-ass man who's mm-hmm. her subordinate, mm-hmm. right? She only wants to talk about business in the business meeting. Excellent.
Yeah.
Like, girl is doing her job, trying to keep this all on track.
Right.
These men are talking over her, right?
Yeah.
They start getting a little sloppy and silly, but mm-hmm. it's like, honey, the men are talking, right? There's right. a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, part of Michael walk, Jan is a boundaries queen. Like, go girl, save your energy, right? All that good stuff.
Yes, totally agree.
The second part of that, right, is that Michael is good with people.
He really is. And it's almost like when he's not trying is when he's the best. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's not trying too hard.
Yeah.
Like he tends to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he is really about building the relationship mm-hmm. with this client. And Jan keeps trying to jump in and talk about the bottom line. And Michael's like, no, like personal relationships, like people, customer service, like
right.
he understands that part of business.
Yeah.
So the other part of that, right, is that, you know, Michael is good with people.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at his job in some type of way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a two-part coal walk because I do also see him and Christian bonding, broing out.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's that like moment where you said like Jan's there. Jan's the boss,
mm-hmm.
right? Even though we're joking about, like, she's having a power trip. She doesn't want Michael to speak in the meeting.
Right.
Like, she had this all organized, and then she was forced in this uncomfortable way to talk about a recent tragedy in her life.
Right, her divorce. Yeah. No more Gould.
Yeah. And she's forced to spend... I mean, they're gone all day. She says it's going to be an hour for lunch. They're gone all night until like midnight.
Yeah.
So I, right. So that's a piece of it for me. And the other piece of it is like, Michael is good at this and is building personal connections.
Yeah.
So that's my heavy coal walk for this episode.
I love that. I also love that because it does show like the more human side of business. Like you really do need to have some sort of base of like a personal connection,
yes.
you know, in order to build like business relationships. Of course, there's like certain lines and boundaries, but like if you're on the golf course or if you're at Chili's, like cutting it up and you're getting along and it's working for you that way, like that is important to some people to have that connection,
right.
even in business. Yeah.
And Michael's usually a little bit abrasive or hard to listen to.
Yeah.
And that part of him does not exist with Christian.
Right.
And Chili's.
Or sometimes his social cues are like way off, which like I think at the beginning they kind of were. But once Christian was like you know, kind of on the same wavelength. They well, really vibe.
Michael does that, though. He puts him at ease.
Right.
Right.
So instead of being stuffy and like all, you know, graphs and charts and shit.
Right. Yeah. Or his normal weird, like out there self.
Or highly inappropriate. Like sexual.
Exactly. So he finds, I think you're right. Like it's, he finds that happy medium.
Yeah.
And can create that in other people. And so it's a great moment for Michael, but you're also like, where is this 90% of the time?
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For like, sure. Because he seemingly just turned it on. Maybe it's the alcohol. I don't know.
Like, you want to hope it's like, I think there's a point of it that's sort of revealing. Like, I think you're meant to think that is true Michael Scott.
Right.
I don't know, though.
I love that Cole walk. And also, like, it went so much deeper than I expected. So I really love that. We like went into Michael's psyche a little bit.
It was a deep one. Well, I do with season two, right? Mm-hmm. I think they are developing more complexities with the characters.
Yeah.
And this is one where you needed to feel like Michael Scott was capable. Mm-hmm. Because after, I mean, you said not, he's not incapable. He's lazy, right? Yes. Last episode. But it's, there's a point where that's too much. The character's not likable. And this was the episode where they gave him a little win with Jan. Yes. And he's actually a good salesman.
Yes.
He's like bragging about being a closer.
Yes.
Right? And you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to go horribly because this man is just
overly confident.
Right. Yeah. But no, but he does, and he closes it, and he cinches it, and he, like, comes in when it counts. So,
yes.
Anyway, to your point, very deep.
I love that. I love that. A win in his love life and a win in his work life.
Michael Scott. Michael G. Scott, rolling like a pimp.
I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me. So, we can go on to our Dundies now. Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah, okay. Tell me.
So my Dundee is the backup mug Dundee. Not only did this backup mug save Dwight from having to pack his shit and get the hell out.
Right.
But he needs the world's best boss mug. He's not Michael Scott without it.
You have a backup, don't you?
I do. I have two of them. So I get it. I get it. I just love how he had that on hand. And he's like, just in case this mug breaks in an emergency situation, I need to have a second one.
Always.
Always. In a box, ready to go.
Yeah.
It's kind of brilliant. I love it.
It is brilliant. It is really good indication of how insecure he is.
That too. But I also do think we all should have identical backups of our favorite mugs.
Of the things you love.
Yeah. Just in case. You never know.
That's a good Dundee.
What's yours?
I'm giving this one the Michael's Levi's Dundee.
Ooh. Michael in those jeans.
We don't know what happens. So Ryan comes in at some point in this episode with jeans dry cleaned.
Yes.
And he's like, have they left for the big meeting yet?
Yeah.
Like, who dry cleans jeans?
Right.
Lots of questions.
It's jeans and one singular tie, the lucky tie with the mouth on the back of it.
Right. So Pam is like, yeah, I'll take those. I don't know what happens to Michael when he gets into these jeans, but then it cuts to shots of him like pretending to like horsey around the office.
Yes.
His feet are in garbage cans.
Yes.
I mean, he's like dancing on Pam's desk, right? Like he loves these Levi's.
And they're like cowboy grade Levi's, like starched little and like
tight,
stiff. Like he
dark
looks,
denim.
He looks like Woody from like Toy Story.
Yeah. With his belt.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. So.
Yeehaw.
And that's also why he incorporated Casual Friday, was because he loves the jeans and he wanted to wear them around the office also.
That is so funny. Like he just loves how he looks in those jeans.
Yes.
So, but Pam throws them under her desk and Michael never gets them, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as we know, yeah.
He doesn't wear them to the meeting.
No. No, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
I guess she's saving them for Casual Friday, although she balled them the fuck up and threw them under
the
desk.
No, I think she doesn't want him to wear them.
Which is, why are you taking away that man's joy?
Because he's annoying. Because he line dances on her desk.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
So there's a lot wrapped up in these Levi's.
Yeah,
so,
but he gets them dry cleaned. So.
But he gets them dry cleaned. So this is the Michael's Levi's Dundee.
I love that. Great. Plain and simple, like jeans. Amazing. So I think that covers it. As usual, reach out to us with any questions, comments, if you want to be a guest, anything, trivia that you found, anything like that. We'd love to feature anything you want to send us. So you can do that. You can DM us at whatshesaidpod.dm or whatshesaidpod.dm@gmail.com. And I think that about sums it up.
For you. I have a final statement.
Let's hear it.
Think of the best orgasm you've ever had in your life. And divide that in half.
That's what she said.